Wow, what a disaster. Anyway, I'm so glad I was there, and you're going to have some boring learning outcomes listed for this session. But anyway, let's make a start. So, why draw what you see? Well, you're here because already you feel that drawing is important. But I would like a quick temperature check. Please raise your hand if you take pleasure in drawing. Thank you very much. That's very unusual. Normally when I do this kind of session, I may get one or two hands up. I think if you ask generally across adults who takes pleasure in drawing, you're going to get about 2%. Okay? You go into a school, into a primary 1-2 lesson. How many children don't like drawing? How many of those children are not confident drawers? They love it. What's happened in between? Where has that pleasure gone? What have schools done to take that away? So I can be looking at that and trying to decode that and find out what's gone wrong. This is a film conference, and film is a visual medium. Drawing is very much a visual medium, of course, and perhaps the primary one in schools. That's what young children engage with first, before writing. Before we speak, before children speak, they can decode films and videos. They're sitting there, understanding the story, getting the plot, understanding characters. So we are primarily visual beings. We spend a third of our life asleep, dreaming. That is primarily visual. So because language has so dominated education and continues to do so today, we use language for learning. But really, I believe that it's the visual medium that we really need to look at. And it's happening now anyway because of screen technology. So we've got no choice. I'm not going to read everything up there, you'll have read it. So, learning outcomes, here I go, boom, boom, boom. It's a ridiculous list. Hopefully, we'll get some of them. I'm going to check it at the end and see how you've done. How I've done, actually. Okay. How do we see? Just take a look at those. You've probably seen them before. You all know these lines are exactly the same length. You know that. That is knowledge. But you cannot see it. No matter what you do, you cannot see it. These lines are parallel and straight. But you cannot see it. So visual light is coming into your eyes. The brain is taking that information and doing something with it. And that doesn't just happen with optical illusions. That happens with everything we see. Everything. There are processes happening in the back of our brain that we know nothing about, that are influencing our decisions, our behaviour, and how we respond to drawing, our own drawings, and how we respond to films, of course. So, is there anybody who doesn't see that moving? Is it a film? Is it a slide? It's a slide. There is nothing moving there. Okay? How can you stop that? Can you stop it moving? You can. If you look. Because seeing is about looking. Look at one dot. Did it stop? It's a mystery as well. I was looking at this on a train, and because of some sort of flickering effect, it had stopped completely. I thought, oh my God, this is going to go wrong tomorrow. It's stopped moving. So there's all sorts of things happening there. I don't know what. But if you look, you focus your awareness on one particular point, something changes. And that is also what seeing is about. Artists have to really, really take their awareness and look at something very particular to be able to see it, to be able to draw it. So we're now going to explore a bit the pleasure and the pain of learning, of drawing. If you haven't got a piece of paper, there's some here and some pencils. We are going to draw something right now. Draw a cat, please. You have 1 minute to draw a cat. I'm going to do it too. Anyone else on paper? A pencil? Well, I might not have had a showstopper, but I did come a bit prepared, so here we go. Cat, we haven't got long left.
Thank you.
Timing is also very important, it seems to have timed activity. Okay, your minute is up. Share your drawing with your neighbour. Very good. I thought that was going to be a How do you feel about this drawing? Share that as well. I mean, this, you put your hands up, a lot of people in this room enjoy drawing, so there's probably going to be some pleasure in there. Quite a lot of the time there is pain and discomfort, and you know, this is happening in the classroom every day. Teachers are asking children to draw stuff by primary sort of 5, 6. It's more about pain than it's about pleasure. So how can we change that? How can we change that? Well, the first thing we have to realise is, and certainly in a minute, none of us have drawn a cat. We've all drawn symbols. And this is what very young artists, learners do. And it's what most adults continue to do. Around about the age of 6, say, I'm not too sure, children start to look at their symbol and realise that this symbol for a cat looks nothing like a cat. So they therefore say to themselves, I cannot draw. I'm rubbish at drawing. Crap, I hear it so often, crap at drawing, sir. It's really sad. So, there's my cat. Okay, it is. So I was just saying, any difference. But that's what a cat looks like. Well, in a certain pose, in a certain position, of course. So when I was researching this, this is the start of how to do storyboards, but I became much more interested in this whole drawing process, because to draw storyboards, you need to draw. So, cats. Sarah used cats, so I'm on the right tracks there. Here's a picture of a cat. I searched for children's drawings of cats. One of the first ones I came across was this. Now, this drawing of a cat has got nothing, it's completely unrelated. But when I found this, I thought, this is really interesting, because this artist, this young person, has drawn 3 legs. How many of you drew 3 legs? I believe that this child, when they were drawing that, was looking at a cat lying down. Why would, otherwise, would they draw? Children always put 4 legs on a cat. Always. I mean, it's still very symbolic. Always. Who's put 6 whiskers? Claws are there. Lovely, delightful expression. When, as teachers, we look at children's drawings, we tend to say, oh, that's good. What a great drawing. Lovely. What we need to be is specific. What is good about this? What is brilliant about this is that it has 3 legs. What is also is the delightful expression. These are my interpretations. You can do your own. So be very specific with praise, because children very quickly learn to realise that, you know, praise is cheap. They can understand and hear when teachers are not sincere. So here's a very young child's drawing, and what I love about this is the confidence of that colouring in. the confidence put lines anywhere. What do they mean? Who knows? It says the Cat in the Hat. So language begins to creep in. But also they're quite happy to put words with that to support their sort of their drawings. Perhaps the language is even more dominant. So we're associating this label, this sign, C-A-T, with this symbol, cat, with a real cat. Six whiskers, delightful, four legs, different profile. It's either front profile or side profile. Nothing in between for a symbol. So we're going to go through a little progression of children's drawings of cats. We've got eight whiskers now. But what I really like about this one is that the artist has observed these funny, dimply, the roots of the whiskers. They haven't looked at the cat and realised that these whiskers are actually coming out of those little dots. But they've also got, I don't know what this is, but they've observed something and put shading, different tone in there. So they've moved from the totally symbolic to seeing something and using shade as well as line. The eyes are cartoon eyes, but what I love about them is that they're telling a story. What is this cat looking at? And they're also going beyond the frame. Film is a medium that is framed totally. But film also goes beyond the frame by using sound and using action off frame. And great art, I believe, is all visual art is framed. But great art goes beyond the frame, sort of emotionally, intellectually, and sometimes narratively. Further progression. We've got a mixture of symbolism, six whiskers, but also observation. They are drawing what they see, or learning how to. The fur is depicted, only two legs. The tongue is sticking out. There's a lot of concentration around the eyes, and the eyes are much more realistic. So are the ears. The ears are definitely part of the head, and not sort of just tacked on like the early ones. Very much symbol for sun. So, big step forward. Fantastic drawing. It's still representational around the fur. Most of the details in the face. That's where we concentrate on, of course. This one is extraordinary. Perhaps you can't quite see. But I've talked about the whiskers. Here, the whiskers are depicted by no line. So the artist has realised that these are the highlights. There's no line there that draws the whiskers. So we've gone from six whiskers to really seeing what those whiskers look like by really, really looking at them. And the only way to depict them, to represent them, is to have no line there. The liquidity in the eyes is quite extraordinary, and that, again, can only be done by really seeing the highlights. Liquid always has this incredible, well, obviously liquid-like texture, and is full of highlights. Right. So how do adults move beyond this stage, or this stage, which is perhaps what we've drawn, to this stage? How do they do that? This is a self-portrait. And we're going to show you 2 weeks later. So how did she has managed to achieve that process? How? She's done it by undertaking a very short course from a book called Drawing on the Right-Hand Side of the Brain by Betty Edwards. And the right-hand side of the brain, as you're almost all aware, is the visual processing side. The left-hand brain is the linear, sequential, mathematical, logical side. That's what we all use to draw a cat. It's the right-hand side that looks, that makes sense of pattern, of shape, that compares relative distance, relative size, that compares perspective. And this is an absolutely it's the book on how to gain confidence in drawing by using the right-hand side of the brain. It's packed full of exercises. As teachers, if you want to improve your confidence, your drawing in yourself, go through this book. I've used it in class and had some great results as well. Unfortunately, I didn't really feel I had time to go through all the exercises, and I didn't assess the results, but quite extraordinary. And what's important is how the children felt about their drawings. It was different. That was the biggest difference. Not particularly the quality of the drawings, but how they felt about them. For me, that's what it's about. If you're really interested in going in deeper levels of psychological seeing, I'd recommend that book, but I haven't got time to go there. So this is about film. How do we use film as well to gain that confidence in drawing? So, first of all, you need to find good short films. I'm sure through today and through resources, Scottish Screen, Scotland On Screen, etc., there are now a great many more available. Fantastic. This is important. We're going to do a short lesson on drawing, but we watch the film first, so we get the whole story. So the children aren't focused with the narrative, with the character, and they're not distracted by that. You need to find film, watch it, enjoy it, appreciate it, discuss it, and then you're going to go through some exercises after you've filmed it. So this is what we're going to do. And we're going to draw from the film, and we're going to draw specific frames. I will talk continuously in the process. The purpose of that is to try and activate your right-hand brain, to try and keep you hooked into that, rather than your left-hand brain dominating the process. I'll capitalise the frame. Oh, it also needs to be timed activity. You need to, very short, like time that one for a minute. So here's your next exercise. I'd like to draw that. Draw the frame first. Give you about a minute. As accurately as you can. Whatever way you like. You don't need to colour it in. We're just looking at the shapes, really. Okay. You'll still see the... So now I've put up lines that you don't see, or that you can choose to see, or that you can construct yourself. These are lines that are comparing spaces, fractions, ratios within that frame, which exist all the time, which if you're going to learn how to draw and learn how to see, you need to start seeing those. You need to start seeing relative distances, thirds, okay, halves, angles. That the angle of this triangle is a tangent to this. This is halfway across the frame. And that's a right-hand brain process, all that. It seems very mathematical and linear, but we might use words, but the right-hand brain is about comparing spatial relationship. Okay, we're going to watch film now. All the way through. And now I hope I'm getting sound, but it's just a music track, so if it's not too critical. We weren't getting sound before, we're not. Right, okay. So, draw three frames, on your piece of paper, sort of that sort of size. Because we're looking at it's a 16:9 frame. So 1, 2, 3. So I'll just repeat those. So I'm going to stop the film at three places, of course, but I've already decided where I'm going to stop. I'll talk about it, and I'd like you to draw what you see, and also time the activity and keep it together. Okay. So, any questions? Anyone? Any clarity? There we go. So, I'd like to draw that. I'd like to focus on the cat first. So, concentrate on drawing the cat first, then the legs, then the furniture. So, in that order. And I'd like you to make continuous reference to the edges of the frame and the fractions in the same way that you did with the shapes. Look at where the position of that cat is. Look at the amount of space above the cat's feet and the amount of space below the cat's feet. Look at the way that the whole bottom of the cat pretty much is a straight line because it's compressed and has been squished into the floor. Look at the cat's eyes and the expression, and particularly the shape and the relative sizes of those eyes, because the relative sizes and the relative shapes, which that's what they are, they're just shapes, they're not eyes. The right-hand brain will just see shapes. The left-hand brain labels them as eyes. Try and focus entirely on the shape, because that is what gives you the perspective and that is what gives you the expression. Look at the amount of space around the pupil. The ears falling over also is an indicator of the action that has just happened. And also, the right-hand brain, in seeing shapes, sees the shape above the ear that's enclosed by the tail. It just sees a space there. The feet and the shoes, notice what level they are in terms in relation to the cat and the edge of the frame. And as you're beginning, you could also do a tiny bit of shading, because that will also give you some depth, an indication of how the light is working. So when I'm teaching, we ask children to do storyboards, this is the sort of exercise that we must do several times in the class before we start doing any storyboarding at all. Because otherwise the storyboards that we do, that children do, end up being terrible storyboards, to be honest. Because a storyboard has to indicate the camera shot. If you ask children to do storyboards without doing this sort of process, without really drawing from a film, they will just draw wide shots. They will draw a whole body. They would never consider chopping off someone at the legs. They would never have a person going out of the frame. Children cannot draw like that. It's just beyond their sort of capacity. They have to see that it's possible to have something outside of a frame. And drawing, or in a sense copying really from film, allows that to happen. It also allows them to draw a cat in his posture. It would never happen. It also allows you to choose postures. There's 25, well, probably about 12 different postures every second in this animation that you can choose from. But we're going to move on, so just you're going to have to stop there. You'll be beginning to look at the postures, at the shapes, at the spaces. You'll be beginning to look at this in a completely different way and the frame. So I'm going to give you a slightly easy one next. I could just fire it through, but there it is. Okay, so here's a much simpler one. Look at where the cat's ear touches that frame. At what fraction is it across? And the same, what's the height of the second ear, the other ear? What about that triangle that's marked out? For two, one very small and one very clear triangle. There's absolutely no way that you would consider drawing a cat from looking down at it like that. But that's how we always see cats, pretty much. Obviously the focus is on the eyes. Look at the shape of the eyes and how they, in comparison to what you drew earlier, these are obviously very symmetrical. So the right-hand brain really focuses on light symmetry, and that's why we tend to draw. So many of our drawings are symmetrical. Our symbols for things that end up being drawings. At what point does the tail appear from the head? Note also there's actually no indication of the back legs or the rest of the body. What proportion of, in terms of relative sizes, is the head to the rest of the body and the feet? You'll also notice when you do this in class that the class is the level of attention and focus is extraordinary. If you want your class to be quiet for 15 minutes, do this exercise. Occasionally you'll hear a comment like I just heard then, God, this is hard. It is hard. Because you are really, really looking. Your level of concentration and focus is the finest it can be. You are doing your best here. Okay. I'm going to move us on. We had a fantastic expression there, and then here's your last one. Okay, so now quickly try and sketch out the shape of the room. Quickly just get that shape of that person in your final frame. But more importantly, what about the cat? And of course, this film started off as a drawing. Lots and lots of drawings, concept drawing. Star Wars wouldn't look like it does if it wasn't for the great artist Ralph McQuarrie, who was the concept artist. He really designed C-3PO, R2-D2. He designed the look of Star Wars. So that the connection between film and drawing isn't just in storyboarding, it's about whole concepts. And film has changed with making reference to cartoons and the whole comic book genre. The crossover between that now is tighter than ever, and it makes lots of money. But here we've got rooms often divide up the frame for us. It might be slightly peculiar ratios, but that's how it is. Okay, so I'm going to move us on. Thank you very, very much for taking the drawings. What I would think about those, think about these comments here. Have a quick little discussion if you like with your neighbour again. You can look at your drawings, compare them to your first cat. Okay. So, they were the learning outcomes. You can judge for yourself whether you've been successful. Hopefully you can take this away and try and deliver a lesson. You obviously need to do some work beforehand, but I've given you the very basics. This is how I would start storyboarding. I'm just going to finish you with one final thought, really. Unless has anyone got any questions or comments? Yes, Marie.
I have a small disagreement.
Oh, good.
I'm very charmed by the way we led our thinking about how we see the illusions, the lines, the analogies, and everything is very, very useful for kids to realize. But storyboarding is a very intellectual and adult process.
A very intellectual and adult process,
right? And this workshop, which I find it very effective, however, leads kids to do something that is quite far, as you admitted, from the way they think. We all know they draw wide shots. I've got a personal collection, actually, of children's storyboards. I love them because they're not cinematic, actually, right? But I think there are different ways that we, off sound or off image, it's not enough to teach them drawing for them to understand cinematic language, because still the question is, for me, if I was a kid to imagine a close-up of a cat, first I need to imagine, and then it's about the ability of drawing. Storyboarding is a transferring of a thought. So I would like to introduce other small units of making them understand what is a close shot and why do we need it, and not only through, you know what I mean, drawing and storyboarding is one way to go around it.
I'm sure you agree, but I'm just trying to put another point of view on the... So what's the disagreement exactly?
Sorry?
What's the disagreement? But this isn't
enough. If we focus on this unit, I think it's not enough.
Okay, absolutely. For sure, absolutely.
It's almost problematic if we don't show other things.
Absolutely, yes, yes. This is very much so.
Can I offer a kind of thought, really, which is that doing that drawing makes you look at the frame. I've used this lots of times, and it's not just to look at the frame, it's to look at sequencing of frames. So after you've done this exercise of getting I've always done it with particular pieces which tell you something about cinematic storytelling, right? And when you've got them to draw six frames or whatever, then you talk about the relationship between the frames, right? So that you're A, beginning to see that the cat is not in the frame, it's only its tail, but you still know it's there. There's all that off frame space. But that you discuss how the frames relate to each other. You can look at things like point of view through that. Oh, character looks. Oh, next frame is what they look at. You know, etc., etc. So,
yeah. Okay, it's time for me to stop, and I'm going to leave you with one last thing. This was actually my drawing of the cat. Where do we see? And it's not my idea, it's taken from The Little Prince, which is a really beautiful book. What is important about people, too, cannot really be seen. Thank you very, very much.